Okay, so good evening. We're coming back to our shiurim on the halachas of raising children. Last week we spoke about an introductory. Everyone here except for Eli was, well, I guess we have some new people, some old people. Okay, so you're caught up. There you go. So we had a shiur on the introduction to the mitzvah of chinuch, right? We spoke about the concept of the mitzvah that's involved in raising children, the fact that it's incumbent for sure upon a father and potentially even upon a mother. That was part of the dispute that we quoted last week, to make sure that the children are raised l'Torah u'mitzvos. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. It's maybe tied to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, if you remember. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to teach. They have to teach the children, so you have to teach them how to do the mitzvos, not only how to understand the mitzvos. And we spent a lot of time also last week in the very beginning of this year on understanding the age of chinuch, but we understood like kind of a quirky part of the age. If you remember, we started speaking not so much about when chinuch begins, we spoke about when chinuch ends. Do you remember that? We spoke about the mission in Pirkei Avos, is that a person becomes a gadol at the age of 13. And the question was, does the mitzvah of chinuch stop by the age of 13? And we developed, with the help of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and others, we developed a theme that really chinuch, based on the Gemara, really chinuch continues well past the bar mitzvah. A child becomes bar mitzvah, in some ways the chiv of chinuch is just beginning. Now they have a brain, now they have an intellect, now they have a responsibility. Now you could really teach them some lessons. Less punishment, more lessons, if you remember Rabbi Yaakov taught us. So we spoke a lot about when that, how that chinuch carries on and goes forward. We mentioned briefly, we were Mitzayin, we referenced the fact that there is a shear, there is an age, a measurement at which chinuch begins as well. Do you remember what the general rule was that we presented? It was mostly a rule. We didn't say a specific number. Hey, Dael, how you doing? There's sheets right there if you want to grab. Excellent, good. So we said it wasn't necessarily a number. Again, everything's going to translate at some point into numbers, right? Because you can't just make it up based on subjectivity. But the source of the numbers is going to be a subjective klal, a subjective rule, a subjective principle, when the age of chinuch really begins, which is going to be the age, as you said, as intellectual capacity, the ability, the capability, the mental capacity of a child to understand the mitzvah, or let's say to understand how to do the mitzvah, the performance of the mitzvah, and the type of mitzvah which you're doing will also present variations. So it's a very complex mitzvah. Again, this may sound like a bad example, but it's actually a pretty good example. Tefillin, we assume the chinuch starts much later. Not because it's so complex to wrap tefillin. They say a story, my friend Rabbi Isaac Rice told me this last week in a different context. There was a father who once brought his son to the Belzer Rav. A chassid, he brought his son to the Belzer Rav, and he wanted to show the Belzer Rav how smart, how advanced, how awesome his child was. A child, young child, 5 years old, 4 years old. So he brought a rope, and he brought his child, and he said, "Show the Rebbe." So the child started wrapping, you know, the rope around his arms perfectly. 7 wraps around the fingers. Literally, he made tefillin perfectly. And he said, "Look how amazing it is. My son knows exactly how to wrap tefillin. He's only 4 years old." And the Belzer Rebbe said, "It's very cute, and it's very inspiring, but it's time that you start davening in shul. I think your son sees you putting on tefillin too often." So it's nice that he knew how to do it, but it's not anyways the age, obviously, of chinuch for tefillin. We do that much later on in life, and partially that's the reason for that is because the Gemara, as we're going to see, Bli Neder, Mitzvah Shem, in a second, the Gemara says the age at which a person really is shaykh to the mitzvah of tefillin, able to keep the mitzvah of tefillin, is at an age where they're able to be shomer their guf. They can guard their guf not to pass gas, not to fall asleep in a serious way while they're wearing the tefillin. They can have a shmira, a real guard over their kedusha, over the tahara of their body while they're wearing tefillin. That starts at an older age. Okay, so each mitzvah will be different depending on the person, the kid, and depending on the mitzvah that we're talking about. Make sense so far? Well, everything we just said is basically a Gemara. Source number one on your source sheet, the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, and Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, basically says a rule. Katan hayodei lena'anea. A child who knows how to shake, not himself, but knows how to shake a lulav, right? He knows how to shake the lulav. Chayiv belulav. Okay, so he's chayiv and lulav when he knows how to shake a lulav, meaning he understands the process of shaking lulav. Does he have to know exactly how to do, again, I don't know what your custom is, but I'll say it one way, south, north, east, up, down, west. Does he need to know exactly the right way to do it, like Shulchan Aruch, like the Arizal, like the Mishneh Berurah? He has to know all the ways of shaking? Or just very simply, he has to know how to pick up a lulav and shake it in some basic way. There's room for discussion about that. But basically, he has to have some capacity to understand the performance, the process by which the mitzvah is done, by which the mitzvah is completed. And that's going to be a certain age in the child's life. What age that is, again, the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly. Keep going. Lehisatev, chayiv betzitzis. When the child knows how to wrap himself in a garment, he wears tzitzis. Lishmor tefillin, like we said before, when he's able to take care of the tefillin. Aviv lokeach lo tefillin, you got to buy him tefillin at that age. Yodei ledaber, what's the first thing a child should be doing once he knows how to speak? In my family, it's yelling at your father. But I think the Gemara says differently than my kids. The Gemara says, Aviv lomdo Torah, Kriyat Shema, you got to teach him Torah. Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, and you teach him Kriyat Shema, the first pasuk. So the Gemara basically spells out for us this rule, no? Each mitzvah depends on the mitzvah, and obviously it'll depend on the kid, because some kids will get it at age 5, and some kids will get it at age 6, and there will be a difference between different types of intellects. The Jewish system of chinuch is very subjective. It takes care of children according to their needs. Chanuch lenar, al pi darko, each one in his own way. The Gemara in Chagiga, on Dav Dalet Amud Aleph, has a similar idea, where basically the Gemara tells us, and it's not on the sheet, but the Gemara tells us that when a son is old enough, that he's able to hold on to his father's hand, and be otlil regel, go up to Yerushalayim during the Yom Tovim, during the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, when he's able to perform the actual emotion of walking to Yerushalayim with his father, it's time to mechanech him, it's time to teach him how to do it. Why? Because he's able to do it, so now you got to teach him how to do it. Makes sense? So it's based on the child's ability to perform the mitzvah. What age is that? It will vary. But basically what the poskim say is your target age, and this is important for anyone who has children or grandchildren that they're thinking about, 5 or 6 is the ballpark. And experientially, some of us can probably confirm that. 5 or 6 is usually an age, and there are some kids at 4, and there are some kids at 7. But the point is, around 5 or 6 is usually an age where the child has enough of an intellectual capacity to recognize what's being done. At the age of 2, you can give them a lulav, a stuffed lulav and a stuffed esrog. They have no clue what's going on. They think it's cute for the picture, but they don't even know what, they don't know how to up, down, they don't know what's yantif, they don't know anything. At the age of 3, maybe they've seen you do it a little bit, so they have a little more understanding, but the age of 4, for an advanced child, the age of 5 or 6, they know it's sukkis, they probably learned it in school at certain ages, depending on the school. They know what the general mitzvah is, they've seen pictures of it, right? They've kind of intuit at this point what a mitzvah is and how it's supposed to be done. That's going to be the age of chinuch, around 5 or 6, give or take a year, basically in any given case. That's the general rule we get from the Gemara in Sukkah. However, if you look in source number 2, you find something, it's subtle, but if you pay attention, you're going to find that it sounds just a little bit different. It sounds like the Mishnah Berurah is giving us a rule that slightly varies from what we just said. The Mishnah Berurah says, Vida, you should know. Source number 2. Dishir ha-chinuch b'mitzvah's essay, the age, the measurement of when a child is now obligated in chinuch, or when the parents are obligated to be mechanic, to train the child, hu b'chol tinok l'fi charifuso. This makes sense so far, right? Each student, in accordance with his sharpness, his ability to understand, his cognitive abilities, v'idiyaso, his knowledge, his ability to understand things, b'chol davar, ready? L'fi inyano, according to its essence, kigon hayodeya me'inyin Shabbos. Like a child who understands the meaning of Shabbos, the concept of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos, chayiv lahargilo l'shmo akidish v'avdallah. A child who understands what Shabbos is, or as some of the later poskim try to explain it, they understand, they're old enough to comprehend the essence of Shabbos, or they understand the concept that Hashem rested on Shabbos. This was the seventh day. This was the day Hashem rested. That's the age at which you start to have this mitzvah of chinuch to try to teach them how to keep Kiddush and Avdallah, right, to remember Shabbos on the day of Shabbos. Anyone have a problem with that, Mishnah Berurah? Two problems.
One is mitzvah essay.
Excellent. Okay, so the first one, we're not even up to this yet, but that's our goal. Is that the first problem that's being pointed out is the Mishnah Berurah seems, at this point, if you keep reading, you'll find more. At this point, the Mishnah Berurah is separating between mitzvos essay, I should probably define that, mitzvos essay in Hebrew is mitzvos asay. The way that you say it in the base measure is mitzvos essay. Mitzvos asay, mitzvos, commandments, asay, positive. So the 613 mitzvos are separated into two groups, positive commandments and negative commandments. So mitzvos esei, that's the way I say it, the way you would probably say is mitzvos asei, or the way you would say is mitzvot asei. But mitzvos esei, positive commandments, versus mitzvos los esei, or los asei, or lota asei, negative commandments, don't do's, do's and don't do's. So this, the Mishnah Berurah is laying out for us, apparently there's a chilek, there's a distinction between mitzvos esei and mitzvos los esei, positive and negative. We'll get to it. B'li nadir mitzvah Hashem, what's the other problem you have?
It seems that understanding of
yes.
Excellent.
So, and just to expand what you're saying a little bit, I'll repeat it and expand it. Basically, we saw until now that what's demanded of a child is that he knows how to perform the mitzvah, correct? But the Mishnah Berurah didn't really say just that. He said the child sort of has to understand the essence, the concept, the inyan ha-mitzvah. Meaning the child has to know Hashem rested on the seventh day, or that today is different than all other days of the week. That's more than we asked for before. I thought as long as the kid knows how to hold a cup of grape juice or listen to someone who's holding up a grape juice and saying Kiddush, that should be enough, no? He's performing the mitzvah. He does the actions. He can hold a lulav. He can hold a Kiddush cup. So why does he have to understand what Shabbos is? in order to say Kiddush, in order to say Avdallah as a mitzvah of chinuch, why is there extra, you know, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying, conveying an advanced level of understanding that's necessary for a child, which we never would have dreamed of if we only had the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah. So the truth is, there's a beautiful explanation of this that's found in a beautiful sefer that I only discovered a few weeks ago. It's currently on its way across America in hard copy, but I've been using the online edition for now, which is annoying for me. But it's a sefer called Chinuch Yisrael. It's written by a Talmud Chacham, a big posek, a Chassidish posek, who lives in Brooklyn. His name is Rabbi Yisrael David Harfenis. It's a Satmar Chassid. And he's a prolific author. He's written many svarim, mostly in the realm of halacha, all sorts of topics, aside Hilchos Shabbos, a tremendous amount, and other topics as well. So he has a sefer basically dedicated to these types of questions about Chinuch. Chinuch Yisrael is the name of the sefer. And in there he has a beautiful, I think it's a footnote, if I remember correctly. I think it's the lower half of the page. But I didn't have a physical copy, so it was harder to pay attention. I was scrolling. But a beautiful explanation of this question. He asks this question, why is the Mishnah Berurah giving us more of a demand on the child's intellect than what we seem to have delineated in the Gemara and Sukkah? As long as the kid knows how to do the mitzvah, who cares if he understands what's behind the mitzvah? Why do we need that? Why is that one of the factors in deciding when he's chayiv in chinuch? So the Rav Harfenis says like this. He says, it's absolutely true. There are two conditions. This is correct. There are two things that are necessary for a child to become obligated in chinuch to do mitzvos. One, what we said before, an understanding of how to technically perform the mitzvos. He has to be able to physically do the mitzvos that are in front of him. If he can't do the mitzvos, he's not ready for chinuch. Makes perfect sense. Good? That'll depend on the age. That'll depend on the mitzvah. Fine. Like we said in the beginning. Additionally, a child also has to understand the mitzvah. He has to understand the essence, the concept, the background a little bit. He doesn't have to understand the Kabbalah behind it. He doesn't have to understand the Taimei HaMitzvah. But he has to know what the mitzvah is about, where it comes from, what it means, when it's that day, etc. Says Rav Harfenis, however, there's a distinction between those two conditions. That first condition applies to every mitzvah. Every mitzvah, you need to know how to do it technically. Otherwise, you can't perform the mitzvah. So the child needs to know how to perform the mitzvah. He can't put on tefillin if he doesn't know how to use his tefillin. Most mitzvos, that's all you need. Because most mitzvahs are simply this, a gzeiras habore, a decree of the creator of the world. Hashem says, put on tefillin. Hashem says, take a lulav. Hashem says, light candles, whatever the mitzvah might be. There's an action that Hashem says to do. Is there a reasoning behind it? Is there a tam? Is there a sipuk, a fulfillment we feel when we do those mitzvahs? Yeah, there are deeper reasons, but ultimately what it boils down to for us, the basics of that mitzvah is do the mitzvah, perform the act. That's your goal, that's your job, that's all your task really is. Then there are some mitzvos, and pay attention here, there are some mitzvos where we're not demanded to simply perform an action. In fact, the action is almost secondary to what the real goal. The real goal of the mitzvah, in some cases, is to express some thought, some feeling, some kavana, some praise, to extol Hashem, to thank Hashem. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu demands that we express certain feelings, certain beliefs, core beliefs from inside of us. How do we express beliefs? We do things, we say things, but the mitzvah itself is the belief. So we are supposed to express a shevach, a praise to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Rambam formulates it, that on the seventh day, as Shabbos sets in, we praise Hashem and we praise Shabbos. We're mekadesh Shabbos by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what a wonderful invention Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what a special kedusha of Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for Shabbos. Kiddush is expressing that belief, that kavana from the lev, from the heart, from the mind. You do the act of making Kiddush, but that's only a means of articulating those concepts and beliefs. Correct. Even to hear the Kiddush, because really hearing Kiddush is a function of Shomei Ka'ona, which means you have to say Kiddush, but by listening it's as if you said it. So it's really all the same type of a mitzvah, and the goal is to express those beliefs. Cesar Harfin is like this. If you know how to hold a cup of grape juice or listen to the person holding a cup of grape juice and make Kiddush or hear Kiddush, you could do the action. But that's not the mitzvah of Kiddush. The mitzvah of Kiddush is to express those beliefs, those concepts, those ideas. If the kid has no grasp of what Shabbos is, of a seventh day being rest, of Shabbos being Kedusha, of the distinction between Chol and Kodesh, so then what's his Kiddush? It's meaningless. The whole goal of Chinuch, you'll remember, and we're going to come back to this a lot tonight, the whole goal of Chinuch is to what? To train the child to do things when they're older. We are not training our children, this is true by every mitzvah, but it's especially true by these mitzvahs like davening and the Kiddush, benching. We're not training our children to varf up,
That's Spanish for barf, up. Similar, but it's different. That's we're not training them to spit out words, to say things without any meaning. We are training them to bench to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make Kiddush to Hashem, to daven to Hashem. If the kid is 2 years old and doesn't understand the concept of the Shabbos, if he's 5 years old and doesn't understand the concept of the Shabbos, it doesn't really do much for me. It doesn't really do much for me that he's saying the words or holding the cup or listening along. Chinuch begins when he can actually understand those beliefs that we're trying to express, because that's when the training actually begins for the mitzvah. So yes, there's two conditions, but the two conditions apply, depending on the case, differently. Either it's an action mitzvah, or it's a beliefs and meaning mitzvah. And in the latter case, we have a higher standard, a higher threshold of understanding, of conceptualization, of function of the brain and heart that a child has to have in order to fulfill that mitzvah through his chiyuv and chinuch. Oh, very good. So let's come back to that. We're going to come back to that. In this, they're different in this way.
The fact that, like, you differentiate between
Mrs. Essay and Mrs. Lozada, yeah.
Where do you need kavana for?
But even by Mrs. Essay, where the kavana is not the main staple part of the definitive part of the mitzvah, we still have a mitzvah of chinuch on Mrs. Essay, positive commandments. So Lozada is no different than that. It's different in a different way, which we'll come back to. But there is going to be a distinction. This yisod that we keep developing, we keep coming back to, that chinuch is really training, so it has practical nafkaminas as well. So we saw last week, for example, at the very end of this year, we mentioned how the ritva that we were working on in the beginning of this year, the ritva says that the reason why, remember, Hilni Hamalka, the queen, had this big sukkah, and we proved from her big sukkah that a sukkah is allowed to be above 20 amos, according to Rabbi Yehuda. We don't paskin that way. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could have a tall sukkah, because Hilni Hamalka, this woman with her children, did it. She was a woman, she was ptura from sukkah, she was exempt. No, but she was teaching her children how to keep sukkah, remember? That was chinuch. There was a mitzvah chinuch. Oh, it's on the mother, not on the mother, that's what we talked about. We mentioned at the end very briefly that you also see from that gemara in sukkah that the chinuch has to be done in such a way that the mitzvah is really going to be fulfilled if the person were an adult. Meaning, it has to be a kasher sukkah. You can't have your kids sit in a, what do we call the things in our backyards in LA? No, but that's what we call it in camp. Pergola. You can't have them sit in the pergola with the tarp over it and say, here, sit in the sukkah, this is chinuch in the sukkah. That's not chinuch in the sukkah, it's chinuch on nothing. It's chinuch on relaxing, which is, by the way, this generation needs chinuch on relaxing. We need to learn how to relax in a kosher, we need to learn how to relax more, which fathers need to do a better job of modeling, as opposed to stressing and working all the time. We need to show our children how to relax and be normal and breathe a little bit. Additionally, we have to relax in a kosher way. We have to teach our children how to relax in such a way that they can get all of the breath and all of the geschmack of chilling out a little bit without chas v'shalom resorting to means that are destructive in any way. So there is a chinuch in sitting in the pergola. I don't take anything away from that, but it's not a chinuch in mitzvah sukkah. You might as well do it in the middle of the winter, especially here. It's like, it's no big deal. So that's not chinuch on the mitzvah. Chinuch on a mitzvah has to be that you actually do the details of the mitzvah. Remember, kehech sheira, the mitzvah has to be a kosher mitzvah. Why? Because it's about training. If you train your child in holding a baseball bat and a lemon every year on Sukkot, that's not going to help him when he's older. Gam ki yazgin lo yaser mimena, the pasuk says. Good. That we touched on last week. The lulav might have all the physical attributes of kosher, but it might be, let's say, like a borrowed lulav, which is possible on the first day of Sukkot for an adult. So in that case, the post can disagree. That's a very good point. They argue about that, whether that's okay. And we quoted last week, I don't really have a Chacham Avadja for this week, so we'll just re-quote last week's. A Chacham Avadja was lenient on that exact point that Eli just brought up. So that is a good point. But that's what we saw last week. Additionally, this is a fascinating nafka mina. The post can point out that there are certain mitzvos, try to see if you can think of any, there are certain mitzvos that a child will not be obligated in when he's older, or at least will not necessarily be obligated in when he's older. And because of that, some of the posts can suggest chinuch does not apply to those mitzvos. Example, and this is a wild one you're not going to see coming, Avelus. It is true that the natural course of events in a person's life, I mean, in an ideal sense, in the sense that if we live out our lives, child will bury parent. That is true. A child will bury a parent, ideally, right? But it could be that everyone live till Mashiach comes. There's no guarantee, and Rachmana Litzlan, there are other situations in which it happens also, but there's no guarantee that a child is going to have to sit Avelus ever for the rest of his life. Because of that, many of the poskim assume, this starts in the Rishonim, many of the poskim assume that there is no mitzvah chinuch on Avelus, on mourning. Because who says he's going to have to keep when he's older? The Minchas Chinuch made this famous, this svara, this logic, that who says he's going to have this mitzvah when he's older, so we don't have to train him in it now. Another interesting case is Birchas HaGomel. So a child goes through an event that's life-threatening and he recovers or he is saved miraculously from the event. So an adult would bench Berachas HaGomel. They would get up in front of the kehila and they would say the bracha. Shegmalani Chol Tov, right? And we would respond to tell that Kadosh Baruch Hu, keep doing good for this person. So the poskim suggests that a child doesn't have to get chinuch, get trained in that bracha, because maybe they'll never have such a scenario in their adulthood that they're going to have to make a bracha for. So why train them in it now? So you have cases like this where the poskim say the mitzvah of chinuch doesn't apply to certain mitzvahs because it may not come up, or even necessarily won't come up when they're older. And that's all based on our rule we keep developing, which is that chinuch is about training. Training only makes sense if the guy is going to have this when he's older to be trained for. If there's nothing to be trained for, then there's no training that needs to take place. It's a fascinating story, a cute story. The Avnei Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was the Sacha Chava Rebbe, and he was also a Posik. He was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a Lamdin, a Posik, and a Chassidish Rebbe all in one, all wrapped up in one. He had all the Milas. So he was the author of the Avnei Nezer. That's why we call him that. That's his Sefer of Shalos Tshuvos, Responsa, Halacha Topics. He was also the author of the Igle Tal, which is a Sefer of Lamdus on the Malachos of Shabbos, all of the intricate details and understandings and depth behind the Malachos of Shabbos. And he also, there's a Sefer of Drushos called Naos Hadesha, or Naos Desha, which is a collection of his handwritten drushes that he wrote. Like, he was a Chassidish Rebbe. He gave Devei Torah over. So he was all of those things combined. He was the father, have you heard of the Shem Yishmuel? People have heard of the Shem Yishmuel. So he was the father of the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel, Rav Shmuel Bornstein, was his son, the Sacha Chava Rebbe that followed the Avnei Nezer. So the Avnei Nezer was known as extremely sharp. Sharp to the point of being sharp the way we use it colloquially. Like he dug into people sometimes. He gave people the business, as they say. So when he was a little kid, a very, very young kid, he was holding by Yom Kippur. And he was young enough that it wasn't safe for him to fast. So he was going to break his fast in the middle of the day in Yom Kippur, maybe he fasted a few hours, then he was going to go break his fast. I don't know, maybe he was 6, maybe he was 8, but he was not fasting because he wasn't strong enough yet. Make sense? So he was going to the other room to break his fast, and his father said to him, hey, Avnei Nezer, I think they called him that at home, I assume, hey, Avnei Nezer, are you going to make Kiddush before you eat? It's Yom Kippur. We don't make Kiddush in Yom Kippur because we don't eat. But if you're eating, it's Yom Tif, it's Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabboson. Maybe you need to make Kiddush. So that's Taka Machlok is in the poskim, whether you have to make Kiddush for a Chola who has to break their fast, is Kiddush required? The Mishnah Berurah seems to imply not. Rabbi Kiva Eger has something to say about this, leaving that question on the side. The Avnei Nezer's father said, hey, you're going to go make Kiddush, right, before you eat. And then the Avnei Nezer said, no, I'm not. I'm not making Kiddush. So the father said, what do you mean? A Chola who breaks his fast, it's Yom Tov now, you should make Kiddush before you eat. So the Avnei Nezer said, no. What's the pshat? Listen to this. A little kid, 7 years old, 8 years old. The Avnei Nezer said to his father, what's the pshat in chinuch? To train me. I'm a little boy. You want to train me for when I'm older. Right now I'm breaking my fast because I'm a little boy, and therefore I can't fast. When I'm an adult, I never plan to break my fast. There will never be an instance, as long as I can control it, where I'm an adult and I'm going to have to eat on Yom Kippur. So there's never going to be an adult situation in which I have to make Kiddush on Yom Kippur. So why would I do it now? It's not training for anything. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. So this is the story they tell about the Avnei Nezer, that he chapped his father. He chapped him ice, as we say. He caught him. He said, that mitzvah of chinuch that you're implying, it doesn't really apply here because I'm not going to have to do this when I'm older. Gam ki yazkin lo yasri mena doesn't apply because I plan to fast all of my adult years on Yom Kippur. So that's the yesod that we're still developing. Now coming back to the point that keeps coming up, this Mishnah Berurah that we were just reading continues and says that there seems to be a distinction between positive commandments on the one hand and negative commandments on the other hand. We're talking about the age at which it starts. So positive commandments, we said, starts at the age where there's an intellectual capacity to understand how to do the mitzvos, and in certain scenarios, the concept of the mitzvah as well. We developed that theme before, okay? Now, where the Mishnah Berurah continues, is he says, but by mitzvos lo sesei, by negative commandments, the age is much earlier for the mitzvah of chinuch. We start training our children in avoiding isurim, avoiding transgressions, avoiding averos, mitzvos lo sesei, negative commandments, at a younger age even than positive commandments. Let's put that on pause for a second, keep that idea on the back burner, and just point out one thing here. The Mishnah Berurah is making a huge assumption. It doesn't feel like a huge assumption to us because it seems almost obvious, but he's actually making a very big assumption that not everyone agrees to. The Mishnah Berurah is assuming that there is a mitzvah of chinuch on mitzvahs lo sesei, on negative commandments. Does anyone disagree with that? Does anyone think that doesn't make sense?
How would you do that? How would you?
Excellent. You're jumping right to the core of the shir. Excellent, excellent. Good question. So you're suggesting there might be a distinction, because what does it mean to be mechanech by a loss essay? How do you teach someone not to do something? You see him doing it and you stop him. Is that a good answer? So this what you guys are debating right now is a machlokas rishonim. I'm sorry? Right, we could also, that's also true. Meaning we could teach them in concept, in theory, without actually practicing it. So we could teach them, this is not allowed, this is yeah allowed. Or sometimes you'll point out to them, hey, I could have done this and I didn't do that. So you have ways of modeling abstaining from something, but it does feel different. It's a different type of chinuch for sure. So based on everything that was just brought up, mamish, everything that was just brought up, if you look in source number 3, you have a Tosfos in Maseches Nazir on Chaf Ches Mabes. Tosfos say, in answering a question from the Gemara there, Tosfos say, Yesh Lomar in the bold, Dichinuch lo shayich, ela lazhiro la sos ulakaye mitzvah. The only time it's relevant to talk about a mitzvah of chinuch, the only time it's relevant to discuss training a child to do something, is when it's exactly that. Doing something. A positive mitzvah. Performing a mitzvah. Then you can train him. But once you're talking about, says the Tosfos, Aval lahazir mi lavor ein zeh chinuch. You could yell at a kid. You could tell a kid, don't do that. You could show him what not doing it looks like. But that's not chinuch, says Tosfos. That's something else. Maybe it's nothing halachically, but it's just a different type of chinuch, a different type of training. But it's not formal training in the sense of the mitzvah of chinuch. The mitzvah of chinuch is only shayich to positive commandments where you show them what to do. And the Tosas bring up the obvious problem with what they're saying. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, says that there is a concept of chinuch by Yom Kippur. So when a child is young, they're not supposed to fast. It's not healthy. But as they get older, we do lishaos. A couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, they spread out their eating a little bit more, and they start to get trained on how to fast, how to do a tainus, how to fast on Yom Kippur. Fasting is don't eat. So isn't that chinuch on don't eat? So Tosfos answer the question. They say, no, it's different. The mitzvah on Yom Kippur is ve'inisem as nafsho seichem me'erev ad erev. There's a mitzvah of actively causing yourself inui, suffering, on Yom Kippur. That's the goal. We're supposed to starve ourselves, not to refrain from eating. It's not a negative commandment, don't eat. It's a positive commandment to make sure you're feeling it on Yom Kippur. We can train a child in doing that. It's a mitzvah's essay. It's a positive commandment of fasting on Yom Kippur. So fascinating back and forth in the Tosfos. Either way, this opinion of Tosfos, that's corroborated by the Rashba and the Tosfos Rid and the Meiri, and there's Nemuk Yosef, and there's a Rashba in Shuvis. Famously, a Tosfos Yeshanim here in Maseches Yuma. All these Rishonim all say, like Tosfos, that there's no such thing as a chinuch on a mitzvah's los essay. Yeah, Dial. Right. Right, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So maybe when you only have one half of the equation, which is the inyan and not the maisa, not the action, you just can't have the formal mitzvah of chinuch. Nobody's saying that you should teach them to eat at McDonald's or not teach them not to eat at McDonald's, but does it qualify for the full mitzvah or not is the question. So it has half the formula, it has the inyan, it has the idea, but it doesn't have the maisa, it doesn't have the action. We'll try to spell out a little more, we'll see if it still bothers you. If it bothers you, it's okay, we're going to get another group of Rishonim soon. So the so Tosfos takes a stance. The truth is that they have a Gemara, source number 4. We're not going to go through the Gemara inside, but basically the Gemara here in Maseches Yevamos, on Daf, it starts on Kuf Yud Gimel, goes to Kuf Yud Dalet. So the Gemara talks about the sugya of Katan Ochel Nevelos. If you see a young child who is consuming non-kosher food, Beisdin Mitzuvan Lafrisho, Eina Mitzuvan Lafrisho. Does the Beisdin, you know, the third party that's watching this happen, some other people who are in the room that are seeing it happen, do they have a chiyuv? Is it incumbent upon them to stop the child, to admonish him, to halt him from eating that food? Or do they just let him fresh? Do they let him go to town on that McDonald's sandwich and not bother him at all? Do they have a chiyuv to do so? So the Gemara seems to come to the conclusion that Ein Beisdin Mitzuvan Lafrisho. Based in the people who are watching are not obligated to forcibly separate and prevent this kid from violating, so to speak, the Isser of eating Nevela. Why? Because he's a little kid. It's not Nevera. He's not Chayiv in Itzah. He's not doing anything wrong. So the Rishonim here are clearly assuming, and we'll come back to this, that this is a unilateral statement of the Gemara. That when the Gemara says, Beis Din is not Mitzuvah Lafrisho, Beis Din is not commanded, the third party is not commanded to stop this kid from eating, it means nobody is commanded to stop the kid from eating. Beis Din is one example. But nobody in a room with this kid has to stop him from eating the treif. Let him eat. It's fine. I think that they say, I remember one time I had a medicine I had to take, and it was one of the Tanios Kalos, meaning it wasn't Yom Kippur. It was a different story when I had to... Either way, so I was taking a certain medicine, I had to take it on the fast day, I think it was Tzom Gedalia. So you had to take it, and you had to eat something. You had to take it on a full stomach. So I asked Rav Shechter what to do, so he said, no, it's a light fast, it's not a big fast. It's a choli, you're sick, and you have to take the medicine, so eat and take the medicine. And then he said in Yiddish, I can't remember how to say it in Yiddish, but he basically said there's a Yiddish phrase that once you're eating, let it drip from your beard. I didn't have a beard at that time, but they let it drip from your beard, meaning once you're eating, enjoy it. So he's telling me, once you're eating breakfast, get a geschmack out of it, enjoy it, let it drip from your beard. So let this kid drip from his beard if his, I don't know, Persian kids have beards? I don't know. My kids don't have beards, but let it drip from the beards. I don't know. You guys all have beards. Everyone here has beards. Wow. This is nice. I feel really comfortable here. This is great, yeah. Yeah, we spoke about that slightly last week, not really, but...
So wouldn't that make him obligated to...
Because of his. Yeah. Right, so that's a good point, but he's not... Right, so you have to figure out how that concept really works. I think it's a good question, but I don't know how to answer it because I don't know how that concept really works. The kid's not doing anything wrong by eating because he's not chayiv in the mitzvah. So what does it mean that you incur his punishments at that age? So it's not referring to everything a kid does. I don't know how to fully answer it, though.
Why would that not make it
right, I'm saying, if we really understood it that way fully, then I hear why it would make him obligated. But it must be we don't understand it that way, but I don't have it clear enough to say. So that's what the Tosfos are assuming. These other Rishonim are assuming that there's this unilateral rule that nobody has to stop this kid from eating the meat. Good? There's no chinuch on negative commandments. Why would that be? Why would there be a distinction? So we touched on these points already. Rav Harfenis, in that same Sefer, in a different point, later in the Sefer, he quotes from some Rishonim who say that the whole goal of chinuch, like we've said a million times, is to train a kid in mitzvos, to train a kid in a Torah lifestyle. If you don't stop him from eating meat, he sees a treif sandwich, you're out of the park, he sees a treif sandwich, or someone gives him some food, and he's eating it. And you see him eating it from far away. So let's say you don't stop him. Is he now going to always eat treif for the rest of his life? No. One time he made a mistake. He didn't know the difference. Someone gave him food that wasn't kosher, non-kosher candy in school. He ate it. We're not happy about it. We don't want him to get a non-kosher food in his system. But once it's happening, it's not going to now train him in doing this when he's older. He's just going to have one slip up when he's younger. Nu. He's not going to become ragil b'kach. He's not going to become regular in this action. Chinuch means we train someone to do something positively for the future regularly. We want to regulate mitzvahs for them. We want to show them, you take a lulav every sukkahs. You put on tefillin every day. We want to show them how the mitzvahs are supposed to be regulated and regular and consistent in their life. To be mechanich on a negative commandment would mean to tell them to refrain from doing something once, which we're not really all that concerned is going to take place forever and be rooted now in them for the rest of their life. So there's no real concern of chinuch, no concept of chinuch, to prevent them from sinning. Once he has no maisa avera, what's the point? You're not anyways being margil him, regulating the sin in his life. So there's no real chiv of chinuch in that case. Just one point. The Shilte Agiborim in Mesach Zivamos, he quotes in Or Zarua, that if you have a case where the kid, I don't know, he's 6 years old and he just loves McDonald's. He's 5 years old and you keep finding him across the street at McDonald's. Like, at that point, the Or Zarua says, you do have to stop him. Because now we've defeated our own idea, right? Meaning the whole idea was that you're not going to become regular in the Avera. Okay, but the kid he's addicted to McDonald's. So now you got to go and put an ankle bracelet on him and make sure he doesn't get across the street anymore to McDonald's at 5 years old. Because it's clearly becoming a regular habit for him. You need to be able to prevent that. Similarly, in this Sefer, Shalosh Truos Chut HaMeshulash, which is partially from Chaim Lajner, partially from his son-in-law, Rav Hillel Fried, and there's a third part as well, but the part from Rav Hillel Fried, he has a tshuva where he says a very, very similar idea. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Ma'achalos Asuras, like Basar Bechalav, mixture of meat and milk in the house, things that are commonplace, they can happen regularly. You do have a mitzvah to stop him from doing it because there's a real risk he's going to get involved in it more often. So it's sort of this idea, this logic is playing out, this svara, that if it's training, it's chinuch. If it's not training, it's not chinuch. Sometimes that will boil down to essay versus los essay, but sometimes even a mitzvah's los essay, a negative commandment, can be regular. And if it's regular, it's a risk. You'd have to stop your kid from doing that tavera, according to these poskim. Yeah.
So I guess the question I was going to ask is, when you, in a way, if you tell the kid this is not kosher, you cannot eat it.
Right.
But you're not also training him in the mitzvah, the differentiating kosher versus non-kosher.
Absolutely.
so then wouldn't that still apply?
Right. So
because if you're teaching them this is not kosher,
right,
you have to eat something kosher.
Right, so that I'm not prepared to talk about. That's a very lumdish discussion about whether, it's a really very deep discussion about whether there's a positive commandment to eat kosher or only a commandment to refrain from non-kosher. It gets into Sefer HaMitzvot's questions. But for now, we'll assume we're talking specifically about there's an avera to eat non-kosher. Teaching them the differentiation between the two is a positive benefit, but it's not its own formal mitzvah, let's say, for now. Yeah, the second possibility in terms of why negative commandments might be different, we quoted already from the Rishonim that maybe it's different because there's no regularity to the Avera. The second reason that we could offer is the following. The Trumas Hadeshin, you have it on the page, Simon Sadi Dalek, source number 6. The Trumas Hadeshin writes that it's simply irrelevant. It's simply not shaykh. It's not possible to have the mitzvah of chinuch by a los assay, and this was suggested way earlier. Because why? It's a non-action. You can't train someone to not do something. Now, I know that you can say the words. Semantics, you know, Pavlov, no. Pavlov trained the dogs not to do something, right? Meaning, because the dogs, every time they did something, they were zapped, so they stopped doing it. So, I don't mean physically and psychologically you can't train. I just mean it's not the same type of training. Training means teaching someone how to perform something. You can teach someone how to perform a mitzvah. You can't teach them how to abstain from a mitzvah, not in the same sense. It would be more theoretical, more psychological, but it wouldn't be the same sense of training. And therefore, since you can't train someone to not do something, you can't have the mitzvah of chinuch, says the Trumas Hadeshin, by negative commandments. The truth is, the Trumas Hadeshin seems to be operating with a svara that really was followed and predates him in terms of the Rishonim, and also follows him in terms of the Achronim, something my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita spells out in his Sefer Be'ikve Atzon. In the Sefer Be'ikve Atzon, Rav Shechter writes about the common practice to do Mechiras Chametz. So before Pesach, we want to get rid of all of our Chametz, and we the rabbi will sell the Chametz to a non-Jew, and we'll buy it back after Pesach, right? Everyone's familiar with the practice of Mechiras Chametz, the sale of Chametz, fine. So anyone have a problem with the sale of Chametz? Does that bother anyone? It's a loophole. It's a huge joke. It's what we call a kunz. It's a subterfuge. I know, which word is easier? I don't know. Yiddish or hard English, you choose. It's a ploy, it's a sham, it's a fake, it's a ruse, right? It's not a real, it's a loophole. You said it best, it's a loophole. So we believe in loopholes? We call that ha'arama in Hebrew. It's a loophole, it's a subterfuge, it's a trick, it's a ploy. So that's okay? We're allowed to do that in mitzvos? Employ a trick, a loophole? Exploit a technical loophole and sell our chametz to avoid the iser of Bali Yerali, Bali Matzah, to find the chametz in our possession on Pesach? Is that really okay? We do, but we have to figure out, we're talking about one right now, we'll have to figure out if this rule applies to all of them. Rav Shechter explains like this. Yeah, it's totally okay. You are allowed to do that. In one scenario, to avoid an iser. There's an iser, there's a lav, midaraisa, to own chametz on Pesach, to have chametz in your possession on Pesach. Bal yirah, bal yimatzah, you can't see or own any chametz on Pesach. In order to not own chametz, you can exploit a loophole and avoid having chametz on Pesach. You don't have it. It's a subterfuge, that's true, but you don't have the chametz. If I ask you on Pesach day, do you own any chametz? You do not, you sold it. But when you have a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment, you're not allowed to use a subterfuge to avoid the positive commandment. What does that mean? Well, we'll use the same example. Aside from the mitzvah not to have chametz, what else is there a mitzvah to do before Pesach? Actively? Yeah, destroy. Search and destroy the chametz. Exactly. Get rid of the chametz. Tashbisu. Tashbisu su'or mivateichem. Get rid of all the chametz. That's a positive commandment. The mitzvah's essay to burn, to get rid of, to flush all your chametz down the toilet. Correct? Now, you can sell your chametz in order to avoid the iser of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, but you probably shouldn't, says Rav Shechter, sell your chametz in order to avoid the positive commandment of destroying your chametz. And the reason is the svar we said until now, which is the following. The iser of owning chametz means don't have chametz on Pesach. If I do that through selling it, I don't have chametz on Pesach. I've avoided the iser the same way. Different means, same result, correct? But if there's a mitzvah to destroy your chametz, if I sell it, I did not destroy it. Meaning an action can't be performed passively. Something passive, the action has no ramification. It's just about making sure the result is there. The passive iser of don't own chametz can be achieved by sitting back, selling your chametz, and not having your possession. But if you employ a subterfuge, a trick, a harama, and avoid the positive commandment of tashbisu, you're skipping out on a positive action of the mitzvah. That is not okay. Okay, so who cares? We do sell our chametz, and we do burn our chametz. So Rav Schefter says he thinks there is an afkamina. Not so many people pay attention to this. On Erev Pesach in the morning, the rabbi is selling your chametz that morning. I don't know, 11 o'clock in the morning, whatever. Sometime he's probably earlier, right? 9:30, 10 o'clock, he's selling your chametz. If I burn my chametz at 9 a.m., I burnt the chametz that I had in my possession, correct? Incorrect. I still have some chametz in my possession. Where? In my cabinets. That hasn't been sold yet. So the last bit of chametz I have in my cabinets is being sold to the non-Jew, which means my mitzvah of tashbisu to destroy any chametz I own wasn't performed, because I destroyed chametz and then I still had more chametz left and sold it. So what you should do, ideally, says Rav Schefter, is wait until the chametz has been sold and then burn your chametz. Because then you've sold all the chametz, so you're not over on any iser. You keep a little bit in your possession to burn, meaning you do a bedikah at night, bedikas chametz, you hold on to that in that brown paper bag, that's yours. That's known not to be sold because you're using it that night. That's out of the sale. That's out of the sale. It's obvious. That's in your mind. So you own that chametz. You own that chametz. That wasn't sold. So now you can burn the last bit of chametz that you have, and you have the best of both worlds. You've avoided the iser through a kunz, through a harama. You've also performed actively the mitzvah of tashbisu by burning the chametz after you sold the other chametz that you had in your possession. Now, we're not going to get into it because we're just short on time, but Rav Schefter, in a footnote there, you have in source number 7, if you look on the page, you have a Maharal from the Gur Ari in his commentary on Parshas Vayigash. You look inside, but Rav Schefter ties this discussion to our discussion and says that's the same distinction we're talking about. Positive commandments require an action. Negative commandments require inaction. You can train someone in an action. You can't train someone in refraining from an action. It doesn't catch as chinuch. And he says that accounts for these rishonim, these commentators who say that there is no mitzvah chinuch on negative commandments. Yeah.
According to this law, if your kid is 3-4 years old and every Shabbat he flips on a light switch, you're just supposed to ignore it?
3-4 year old might be old enough to understand Shabbos, right? It depends on the age. It depends what he understands, what he doesn't understand. 2 years old, yeah. Yeah, you ignore it. 2 years old, what does the kid know? He has no idea what's going on. Yes, but that would have to be at an age where they're developing habits. At the age of 2, the only habit they're developing is flinging their arms in the air like this. Sometimes there's a light switch there, sometimes there's not. They're not developing any habit of breaking Shabbos. So it has to be an age where there's some cognizance of what they're doing.
3-4 years old,
it could be. Shabbos might be earlier. I think kids appreciate that the day of Shabbos is special. Maybe late 2s and 3s already. It's debatable. I mean, you might think I'm being stringent about it, but it's possible at that age already. They sense Shabbos is different. They know the food is different. They know the smell is different. They know. You know, they sleep. The lights are out earlier. Like they get Shabbos a little bit earlier potentially. So it's a riskier thing. Yeah. Again, the poskim don't side with this side of the Rishonim. A lot of the Rishonim do say this, but if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in source 8, so the Shulchan Aruch basically says, Katan ochlin aveiros in basin mitzvah la'afrisho. That's what our Gemara said, right? You don't have to stop the kid from violating aveiros. That's the basin. Aval aviv mitzvah ligarbo la'afrisho. The father is commanded to separate him. Why? Mitzvah of chinuch. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us. There is a mitzvah of chinuch. So basically what the Shulchan Aruch and other Rishonim are assuming is that the Gemara was referring only to some, you know, third party who's not related to the kid. But the father, the mother, the parents, they have a chiyuv of chinuch. They have to keep their kids from doing aveiros in order to train them in negative commandments. And they obviously dispute all the logic that we presented until now. What is the age of that understanding? So the Mishnah Berurah says it's earlier than regular chinuch. Regular chinuch starts 5 or 6 years old. This starts a little bit earlier when kids know the difference between right and wrong. Now, that also varies by iser, but kids know what's mine versus what's yours at a pretty early age. They know when they're stealing, right? Like they understand the concept of possession younger than the age of 5. So when they start to understand concepts of what's right and what's wrong, and you're able to teach them what's right and what's wrong, that's when the age of saying, hey, don't do bad things, starts to kick in terms of the mitzvah. Chinuch, the post can basically say, that'll be between 3 and 5 years old, with an average of like 4 or 5. It could be as late as 6, but 4 or 5 years old is usually the sweet spot for this cognitive ability of a child. I wanted to delineate 3 stages of what we're talking about this week at the end, which is sources 9, 10, and 11.
But I think it'll play into what we're talking about next week. So maybe we'll stop here.